Today is the third day of Advent, the second day of our Immaculate Conception Novena. And just as we were getting used to violet color, suddenly we go to red because today is also a big feast day, the church feast of St. Andrew the Apostle and Martyr. Here in the Philippines, it's actually the feast of two Andrews, St. Andrew the Apostle and Andrew Bonifacio, Andres Bonifacio. This is the birthday of Bonifacio. So we reflect on two men who have had influence. Two Andrew, you know, in Greek means manly. And both of these Andrews are manly figures, they're strong, courageous, persevering. They have qualities that we associate with manliness. I dare to dabble in Philippine history. I don't keep it straight in my mind, but I find that I have a better sense of Philippine history than a lot of my Filipino friends. They don't know anything about Philippine history, at least especially the young people. But anyway, Andres Bonifacio was one of the, I think he's considered the father of the revolution, the Philippine Revolution, one of the key national heroes. The other one, of course, being Jose Rizal. Once you get into this topic, you run into the debate about the relative importance of Rizal and Bonifacio. And also the strange phenomenon that Rizal has a national holiday on the day of his death, but Bonifacio has a national holiday on the day of his birth. Rizal on the day of his death because he was killed by the Spanish, he was executed, so he has a kind of civil martyrdom, certainly a heroic death for his country. But Bonifacio had the misfortune of being killed by his fellow revolutionaries or factions among the Katipuneros, or I don't know exactly how it was, but somewhere not too far from here in Cavite, Bonifacio was killed by Filipinos, not by the Spanish. So the day of his death, I don't even know when it is not celebrated, but his birthday is celebrated. And since he was born on the feast of St. Andrew, he was given the name Andrew, Andres. Rizal is, if you look at the caricatures, he is the intellectual, of course he was a genius, and he fought the Spanish with the pen, whereas Bonifacio, again, caricature or it's kind of a superficial way of addressing it, he's more of the activist, the revolutionary, and he fought the Spanish with the sword. Isn't that big statue in Lawton? Isn't that Bonifacio with a huge bolo or machete or whatever that is? So that's Bonifacio. He's the fighter. Manly figure. The church over the years has tried to figure out how to honor these figures because both of them have had very critical attitudes toward the church. You know, Rizal in his novels has some very sharp criticism of the church, especially the Spanish friar. And Bonifacio was a Freemason, or maybe Rizal was too. So there's a lot of difficulty trying to sort out the qualities of these men and their defects. In the church, I suppose that same dynamic goes on, debate about who's greater. I mean, even the apostles among themselves, remember, they fought over which one of them was the most important. But in the church, that kind of argument or rivalry is seen as a defect. That's a problem. That's a human weakness to be rising up above your brothers and sisters. Jesus does not rise up. Jesus lays down his life for his brothers and sisters, for his friends. So he gives us an example that does not correspond to typical secular history. Andrew is a great example of this other-centeredness, of not rising up. He was the first of the apostles to be called, but he was not given the most prominent place among the apostles. It's quite striking. He's the first to be called, and he's the one who introduces his brother Simon Peter to Jesus, but before long, Peter clearly takes the first place among the apostles, and Jesus designates the first place to Peter, and Andrew gets fourth place. The big three, Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. Andrew, fourth. And when the big three have their privileged experiences on Mount Tabor, for example, at the Transfiguration, or in the garden, Andrew is not there. He has this kind of hidden secondary role. And you don't hear any complaints from Andrew about that. He rejoices to have found the Messiah. He rejoices to make the Messiah known to others, including to his brother Peter. He rejoices to be a fisher of men. He perseveres as an apostle. He goes forth as a missionary because he was sent, and he lays down his life for the Lord, for the faith. He's a manly apostle. In fact, the tradition is that he was crucified on an X-shaped cross, and that when he was given an opportunity to turn away from the faith and save his life, he embraced the cross. He expressed his love for the cross because it was by the cross he could be united with his Lord, Jesus. If I may take a little speculative leap here, because we're in the year of St. Joseph, I'd like to connect St. Andrew with St. Joseph. The year of St. Joseph ends next week, so we don't have any more chances to use the grace of this year. But St. Andrew reminds me of St. Joseph in this sense. He's not the most prominent figure. Joseph, as we know, and we've been studying him all year and reflecting on him, he's a quiet figure. He's got a secondary role. He's among the members of the Holy Family. He's the third, first Jesus, Mary, then Joseph. When we promote our Christmas novena cards, people like to get the cards with Mary holding the baby Jesus. The cards that have Joseph are not as popular. The Holy Family cards are not as popular. Not that people are against Joseph, but he's just not that important to people. And there's no complaint from Joseph about that. That is his role. He is the third. He's happy to be at the service of Jesus and Mary. He's not complaining that he's not given a top-notch position. Just like St. Andrew does not complain about being excluded from the top three. I think that this is, the reason I mention it this way is because if we just look at Andrew, or if we just look at history, look at Andres Bonifacio, or you just look at anything, that doesn't necessarily give us anything for our own life. We just learn how other people lived. But if we want to gain something from St. Andrew and from St. Joseph, we can learn or strive to learn how to accept the place that God assigns to us. Even if it's the last place, who cares? If that's what God has chosen for us, that's where our peace is, that's where our joy is, that's where our holiness is. The idea that we have to be number one does not come from the gospel. It does not come from Jesus Christ. That's a secular idea. So the controversy between Rizal and Bonifacio, who cares? It doesn't make any difference in the perspective of eternal life. If you look at St. Andrew and St. Peter, St. Peter is certainly given the first place because that was God's will. thanks be to God. St. Andrew would say, that's the will of God, then that's my will. And that's, I think, a good lesson for us on St. Andrew's feast day. We're just starting the season of Advent. Andrew comes along as an Advent guide for us, and he says, listen to the call. Listen to that call, that word from God, come follow me, and follow. If he makes you a fisher of men, be a fisher of men. If he makes you number four, be number four. If he gives you a role, a secondary role, a hidden role, take it on and rejoice. That's Christianity. That's faith. In every human organization, the church or any community or any family, there's always going to be some kind of hierarchy. That's okay. There can only be one number one spot, and that's for someone. If it's you, okay. If it's not you, okay. Take the attitude of St. Andrew, who puts himself at the service of Jesus and of the church, who lays down his life and achieves extraordinary holiness because of his yes to God, his yes to the call of Jesus. St. Joseph, even better. St. Joseph surpasses St. Andrew in holiness. He has an even lower place. He didn't even get a chance to see Jesus in his public ministry or witness his death and resurrection. But he doesn't complain about it because that wasn't his role. So let us say yes to God, make this Advent a time for us not to rise up or to promote ourselves, but to promote the gospel. Promote the way of Jesus Christ, the Lord.